This is Fresh Air on WHYY-FM in Philadelphia. And with me in the studio are two of the people who you just heard from in the preceding documentary. Our phones are now open for your questions and comments. Our number is 923-2774. That's 923-2774. My guests are Jeffrey Dacrow and Phyllis Taylor. Jeffrey Dacrow is national co-director of the New Jewish Agenda, a liberal group which supports peace in the Middle East and opposes Israel's military policies. They're pro-feminist and pro-choice. In the program, we heard Dacrow discuss the connection between his Judaism and social political activism. He's also a member of a Havirah, which is an alternative congregation. Phyllis Taylor in the program discussed why she has been observing Quaker traditions, although she still considers herself to be Jewish. Taylor is a nurse who has been active in the hospice movement for many years and has served as the chair of Amnesty International's Medical Capacity Committee and is now on Amnesty's National Board of Directors. We're interested in your reactions to the views expressed on the program we just heard, and we invite you to call with your questions and comments at area code 215-923-2774. This Side of Paradise continues next Tuesday at 4 o'clock, when the subject will be In the Name of Allah, American Muslims. Our phone number again is 923-2774. And Jeffrey Dacrow, Phyllis Taylor, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me ask you each to either give us an update on the comments that we just heard, which were recorded several months ago, or if there's anything that you'd like to add to what you have said in the program that we just heard. Jeffrey?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm real pleased about is that Agenda had a very prominent role in the August 27th, 20th anniversary march in Washington. And in light of some of the things that were talked about on the tape, I think that's real important because of the fact that there was a tremendous debate that went on in the American Jewish community earlier this summer about whether or not Jewish organizations and Jews ought to participate in that march. What we found was that in organizing a service that took place the night before, at which Martin Luther King III and Susanna Heschel, the daughter of Abraham Joshua Heschel, at which they both participated, and then the following day, that besides our own contingent of over 500 people, hundreds of others came up to us, indicated how happy they were that we were there, joined with us for periods, and over said how important it was that Jews were there visibly and publicly.
Phyllis Taylor?
I think the only thing I'd want to, again, communicate is that the position I find myself in as bridge is incredibly, incredibly painful. It has been in the past, and it continues to be today. New Jewish Agenda wasn't around for me. And because of that, I have traveled in some ways too far, I think, and so have no definite kind of home because of that straddling. I, too, was in that Sabbath service on Friday night that Jeffrey talked about and marched with the New Jewish Agenda contingent and also marched with another contingent that was made up of radical Christians as I went back and forth. And in some ways, that's pretty symbolic of where I am.
Okay, well, let's take our first phone call, and we invite you to call with any questions or comments at 923-2774. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hello. What I was interested in is how Auschwitz reveals God's will in history. I think that's an important question. We've looked at Auschwitz from other perspectives. And if we don't deal with this question, then I don't see how the Jewish faith can hold validity for young people. I think it's the kind of question that perhaps was asked after the Babylonian captivity. And I wonder if you know of any book or can make any comment on this.
That for me,
Auschwitz from a religious perspective revealing God's will.
For me, what Auschwitz taught me is that God works through humans and that many humans were not open to the power of God. I think God wept during Auschwitz, and I think what God calls us to do now, day after day after day, is to make sure there are no more Auschwitz for any persons. I in no way believe that Auschwitz was part of God's plan, but only part of the distress that has come as we as people have not listened to what God revealed to ourselves through the prophets, through Abraham and Sarah, and also through Jesus.
Let's take another call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, and good afternoon to your guest. I'm calling your guest. First of all, let me compliment you on a very interesting program. I'm calling as an American black, 59-year-old grandmother, and I'm constantly hearing labels put upon blacks, me among many, who has had nothing throughout my life up until the last 15 or 20 years but the utmost respect for the Jewish community. I have found myself defending them in the workplace, but through the years I have found, and I'm not generalizing, because I know that there are still thinking Jewish people in the community, but I find myself seeing many American Jews who have become so Americanized that they are just as bigots, just as racist as the rest of the ethnic groups in this country. And I'm wondering if you could explain why this is, when constructive criticism may be made against some Jewish people and Israel, that that people are automatically labeled anti-Semitic. I happen to read Irving Howe's book, World of Our Fathers, and he himself said that black anti-Semitism has been blown out of proportion, and also, had it not been for the blacks here in this country, that this country would have dealt more with anti-Semitism, and the blacks have been the buffer here for Jews. And
let our guests comment on that.
I will, and thank you.
Well, I think the question that you're raising is a very important one, and it is a very problematic one, one that I think both Phyllis and I were implicitly alluding to when we talked about the march that took place this summer. I think that one of the things that we've seen in this country historically, and not just in this country, is that as any ethnic or racial group manages to acquire a certain level of economic success, that there's a process of assimilation and detachment from their earlier culture and heritage and ethical and even folk ways. I don't think that Jews are immune from that. I don't think that blacks are immune from it. And I don't think that any other groups that are hopefully going to experience greater economic success will be immune to it either. The problem, and I think that Phyllis, something that you said at the end of the tape was really correct. I think it's really important that we remember what the basis of our reality is. And the basis of our reality as Jews is the prophets. And the prophets shout to some of us, hopefully increasingly to a larger number. It's a word that's come to us in this century and in the last 25 years very strongly through the civil rights and black power movements, as blacks embraced and re-embraced a heritage that they found so important to them during slavery. I think that an increasing number of Jews are looking at the question of what Israel is becoming, has become, are doing that with an increasing ability to be critical and self-critical, even with all of the love that we feel for Israel, and that one of the most important things that our real allies in the world, such as you seem to be, can do for us is to hold fast with us, remind us that you support us as human beings and that you support our right to have a nation, and remind us that you want us to be a moral nation and a moral people.
Okay, thank you very much for your phone call. Our number, if you have any questions, is 923-2774. With me are Phyllis Taylor and Jeffrey Daycrow, who are two of the participants in the documentary that we just heard on American Jews. Before we take the next question, I'd like to ask you why you think it is at this time that there are a lot of American Jews who are becoming more religious, perhaps even more religious than their parents were. After a period of time when it maybe worked the other way, where generations were perhaps getting less religious?
Well, I'll start. I know that speaking for myself as a child of a survivor who grew up in a family that was involved in a conservative Jewish synagogue, I was deeply attracted to a more intense religious practice than my parents had given me in the home. And yet it was very clear for me that emerged both out of my home and also out of the fact that I was seeking to find something that was really ineffable, inexplicable, that they couldn't give to me directly and that seemed acquirable only through some delving back into the tradition out of which we all came. I think that it's clear that most American Jews and so many others in the United States and in the Western world have discovered that the modern world is not giving us everything that it said it would, that the promise of the modern world is not a fulfilled one. And part of the reason for that is because it is sought to cut us off from the world that underpins even that.
I think for me, in my own very laboriously built faith, because I'm in my 40s, and very much my reality was the Holocaust, and it was, there is no God, if that could happen, to maybe there is a God, but if so, where, to finally coming to a faith position, saying there is a God, but God works through us. And we must hear, as Jeffrey said, strongly the prophets, as we also, and in the Christian world, have to hear the prophets, whether it be Martin Luther King as the prophet, or Jesus as the prophet, or other people throughout history who have been prophetically yelling out what God is calling them to do. When I got to that awakening, that there was a God, I could not find a synagogue that translated that into action. And that's one of the tragedies, that the Havarot movement was not there at that time that was available to me, and that maybe is the difference in our age and experience.
I got the impression from what you said on the preceding program, Phyllis, that you were disturbed by a trend you saw that a lot of synagogues and well, I don't know about synagogues, but a lot of Jewish individuals in America were perhaps emphasizing Jewish culture as opposed to the spiritual teachings in Judaism. Do you think that that is a problem?
I think it is probably less of a problem. But one of the things for me that's happened is, how does that spiritual get translated? And because I believe that God's on the side of the poor and oppressed, where are the people in the soup kitchens? Why aren't we screaming out that people don't have heat? Why are we not challenging some of those inequalities? I have found, for me, those groups that most speak and stand on the side of the poor are the Christians. But now, thank God, there are the new Jewish agendas as well. But I'm already almost too far in the Christian world, but still in that problem of being both.
Let's take another phone call. Do you have any comments you want to make on what was just said, Jeffrey?
No, I think that I mostly agree with what Phyllis said.
Okay, let's take another phone call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Thank you. I wonder if Mr. Jeffro can help me and answer some of my questions. As a member of the Jewish faith that has seriously studied the Talmud all our lives, I am very distressed by the behavior of a large percentage of American Jews that malign anyone that criticizes Begin or Sharon's behavior, while there are 400,000 Israelis, mostly Sabras, who agree that there are behavior of Begin and Sharon is incorrect, and why so many American Jews have taken the position, a pro-nuclear position, an anti-rally that did not show up at that rally. Can you answer that? I'll hang up and listen, and thank you very much.
Thank you for your call.
Well, I think a lot of the discussion that went on in the earlier program about the concern about anti-Semitism, the threat of destruction, is not one that goes away easily. The American Jewish community is a community made up of survivors. Even those who are not themselves survivors or children of survivors, the whole Jewish people that survived beyond Auschwitz is a community of survivors. And it perceives itself in precisely that way. And to minimize that real sense of the way Jews feel about themselves so frequently and certainly so publicly and as a communal body is a big mistake. I think that the thing that's so important to do in response to that is to recognize the love and compassion and understanding that's necessary to summon in response to that fear, that terror. I know that as I've spent time with Phyllis over the years, that it's been difficult for me to understand the kind of path that she's traveled. And yet, the things that she says make sense to me in my mind. And as I've worked with her on occasion, I've come to understand the truth and the honesty of her as a person and to respect and love that. It's very hard for us to be able to have the experience of working directly with Phyllis Taylors or any other human being. And it takes a lot of effort to go out of our way to make that contact. I think that's one of the things that we have to do. New Jewish Agenda, at its very best, is an organization that works hard at making contacts with other Jews and non-Jews throughout the world around the various issues that we work. And I think, ultimately, that's the only way that we can succeed.
Let's take another phone call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Yes. While the program has indicated that there's a return to Jewish practices and tradition, it also underscored very strongly that many, many Jewish people have left the fold. They're now leaving the fold by way of assimilation and other means. Are there any studies that would support that contention, especially the second one, that Jewish people have left the fold by virtue of the fact that they have assimilated or that they don't join organized religion like synagogues? Are there any figures or facts to support that contention? And what are they, if there are any such figures?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that are important to know. One is that, as was mentioned in the earlier program, about half of the American Jewish community is not affiliated with any organization or congregation or any other body in the Jewish community. So that's already a very significant figure. The other thing is that it's true that the intermarriage rate continues to rise. It's quite high now. I don't know the exact figure. But there are studies that get done regularly and books that get published. There's certain individuals who've made it their life's work to chronicle these kinds of trends in the in American Jewish sociology, Marshall Sklar at Brandeis and Stephen Cohn there. And the American Jewish Yearbook each year gives updates of this kind of demographic data.
Any other comments?
No, just that I wish, again, what I keep coming back to is I wish there had been a place for me where there was that merging of lifestyle and God and translating it into action.
Okay, let's take another call. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
I'd like to know, or let me just say first that I think the beginning of solving any real problems is to have people who don't want to identify just with a specific group, but rather be just a person in this world for peace, for brotherly love, for what the real religious ideals are. And I, because of that, I think I wonder why, people want to identify and continue to even increase that identity with a certain specific group that somehow puts down other groups or excludes other groups. And I think even in the example of the Holocaust, what happened to the Jews was certainly the most horrible, but also millions of other people got killed during that. And I think it's, if you really looked at what true religious thought and feeling is, it has very little to do with specific religions, Jewish or Catholic or Hindu or anything. And I wonder how you support yourselves being associated with a certain group rather than just with humankind.
I am who I am, and who I am is a Jewish person who also is a Quaker. I find in my work at the hospital, because I believe God is a God of all peoples, whether one translates that into Christian ritual, into Jewish ritual, into Muslim ritual, etc. Last week, I sat with a woman and prayed with her and read to her from the New Testament and didn't find an inconsistency in doing that. Mm-hmm. Because I think ultimately we all seek to know God through the roots by which we are most comfortable or grew up with. I also am concerned about divisions between people, but one of the things I found in my Christian friends is that we can travel a very similar path. I worked with a group of nuns, and I found an absolute sisterhood with them. They didn't try to convert me to Catholicism. I didn't try to convert them to Judaism. We were women concerned about justice issues, concerned about lifestyle, working together, following our God, not my God, but it was for me, and I think for them, our God, even though we use different ritual to do so.
Thank you for your phone call. Jeffrey Decker, let me ask you to maybe tell us what you think are the real issues now that face the American Jewish community, which is perhaps heading in some directions different than it was before. There are very politically active groups, which is nothing new, but there's the group like New Jewish Agenda, which is a pretty new group. There's the growth of the Havirah movement, which is small alternative congregations that are meeting. What are some of the issues that you see facing the Jewish community now?
Well, I think that the Jewish community at this time in the United States is still overwhelmingly concerned with Israel. And it seems to me that that bespeaks both great possibility and great problems. The overwhelming problem, it seems to me, is that the war in Lebanon, which occurred last year, is still having repercussions that have not yet been completely assimilated and understood. I don't think there's any question but that the relationship that exists among all Jews in the world is very much conditioned by the nature of Israel and the degree to which it is authentically perceived as a Jewish state, which it claims to be. The degree to which it retains a level of moral responsibility, by which I don't mean a double standard that should be held up to the state of Israel as opposed to any other nation in the world, but the degree to which it upholds the standards that it sets for itself and is prepared to implement a foreign and domestic policy that is consistent with the standards that it establishes for itself, is the degree to which Jews throughout the world are going to have positive feelings about themselves. Once that's understood, then it's possible to develop, I think, different kinds of understandings and different kinds of forms in other places. Now, that isn't to say that Jewish life in this country isn't going on anyway. It's going on tremendously. And New Jewish Agenda, for example, has argued very consistently that the vitality of life, of Jewish life throughout the world, shouldn't necessarily depend on Jews in any other place. So we think that they're independent, but the relationship is also a critical one.
Okay, let's take another phone call. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to ask two very different questions.
I should ask you to keep it brief because we're very close to the end of the show.
Short questions. One is to the woman who's the Quaker. I was at that October 6th demonstration, and I'd like to sort of reverse the question to her and ask her why, among all those groups of oppressed people that they mentioned, they didn't mention Soviet Jewry, and they mentioned the Middle East, but they didn't mention the conditions of the Jews who still live in Arab countries.
Okay, do you want to respond to that?
I wasn't part of the planning of the October 6th, so I really can't answer why not. I think, again, unfortunately, unless there are bridge people, though, since the vast majority of this country is Christian, they're just not going to think about that. And we need to more and more be really working and dialoguing with each other as religious people so that those who do the planning of things like that are sensitized to include in things like Soviet Jewry and other concerns.
Do you want to respond at all, Jeffrey?
Well, I want to just make one comment. I think that the feeling that the woman who just called in expressed, without saying it directly, was shared by a lot of Jews who were there. I know that Agenda sent a delegation, that we had a large contingent that was there, and that a large number of Jews who weren't marching with us and who never particularly identified with Agenda as the body that they wanted to do their disarmament work with came over to us and stood around with us throughout the whole thing. And I think that one of the reasons for that was because there was a sense of connection which was lacking and that the presence of Jews was not acknowledged in any kind of serious public way.
Okay, thank you for your phone call. We're about out of time. I'd like to ask you, because of Hitler's exterminations and other purges during history, Jews have feared for the possible eradication of the religion. Do you think that fear is one of the reasons why some people who never thought they'd become religious as Jews are now becoming more religious?
Yes, I do. I think that I know of Jews. The woman who spoke on the tape early, Miriam Seidler, is a woman who was a secularist, has been a secularist all her life, and yet has increasingly felt a connection to a spiritual, if not a theological, sense of Judaism.
Phyllis, do you want to comment on that?
Just that I think, again, you know, that fear of being annihilated is absolutely always there, and part of what we try to do as humans is to make sense and make meaning, and religion helps us in making meaning.
Well, with that, I want to thank you both very much for joining us. And with me have been Phyllis Taylor and Jeffrey Daycrow, who were both featured in the documentary that we heard at 4 o'clock titled Wrestling with God, America's Young Jews, part of our four-part series on American religion on this side of paradise. The series continues next Tuesday at 4 o'clock, when the subject will be In the Name of Allah, American Muslims. On the Side of Paradise concludes Tuesday, October 25th at 4 o'clock with the program Singing a New Song, The Catholic Left. After each of these documentaries, we'll be joined in the studio by two of the featured speakers and invite you, as we did today, to phone in and speak with them with your questions and comments. On the Side of Paradise was produced by Maeve McGoran with project directors Ellen Cherry and Anthony Mateo. And I want to thank everybody who called this afternoon on Fresh Air. And if you missed the introductions, Jeffrey Daycrow is the national co-director.